RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a text from Ross this morning that said, I'm not sure I can make it today, boat ride. But then later, Ross said, it turns out it's not boat weather, which it's certainly not boat weather here. But I doubt he's on the, you know, on the shores of Hamburg or anything like that, or even Hershey. And anyway, Ross, I'm glad you could make it.
Yeah, I don't know that I am glad I can. I wish I was on the boat right now. I wish we had to reschedule it, but it's the wind gusts are up to 23 miles an hour, making the temperature feel like a very cold 64 where I'm at. Mm. So, yeah, so we decided we'll do the boat tomorrow.
A small craft advisory or something of the sort preventing Ross from going out on the water. It's Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Well, you've said how you always get Eagles questions when you go on these radio hits. We did have Eagles Bills on Sunday, and while it wasn't at all a shootout, it was pretty compelling. The Bills not being able to score until less than 6 minutes to go, then having a great chance of winning. Philadelphia, Ross, one first down in the second half, and it came early. What were your important takeaways from this game?
Well, I think number one, I guess, is I was very impressed with Eagles defense. It's funny, isn't it, how you look at things from whatever perspective you're coming from? Like, I can very easily say I was impressed by the Eagles defense throughout. And the Eagles offense, I thought, did some good things in the first half and really did not play well in the second half. I could totally flip that and say, man, it really took the Bills offense a while to get going. They didn't play well till the last 10 minutes or so, and they had some unfortunate plays go against them. But the Bills defense was lights out in the second half. Like, I don't know. I guess they can both be true, but just based on, you know, the fan reaction to the social video I did after the game at Ross Tucker NFL, it's really all a matter of your perspective and where you're coming from as to what you think. You know, like multiple Bills fans, oh, we gave them that game, blah, blah, blah. And then the Eagles fans reply, are you kidding? You had two guys make the best catch of their entire lives. And they, And a hook and ladder, and you still only scored 12 points. So I guess my big takeaway is that it was a really good game, competitive game. Weather was clearly a factor, and I think both those teams are good enough to go on extended playoff runs.
I think that's the worst weather possible for a fan at a game. Snow is better than 37 and rain. What about for a player?
By far the worst.
Yeah,
freezing is by far the worst. Distinctly remember starting at center for the Bills in 04 against the Arizona Cardinals at center. Yeah. It was freezing rain, and it was miserable. I really was worried and had some trouble even gripping the ball. It was that wet. And, you know, my wife's grandmother came to the game. They sat in the stand in 36 degree sideways rain the whole time. And I distinctly remember thinking, yeah, they're never coming to a game again. I mean, because it was that bad. In fact, trivia note, I don't know how many years he played, but obviously he's going to be a Hall of Famer and all kinds of records. That's the only game in Larry's history you can catch back. The only game.
Fitzgerald, yeah. I'm having a little bit of a tough time hearing you, so I just want to see if there's anything you can do on that front. But we've talked about that Cardinals game before. Emmitt Smith is on that Cardinals team in 2004, I think, and the Bills end up blowing them out. Well, you know, Ross, so to the point you made about Eagles-Bills and, like, look at it kind of any way you want, I'm finding myself doing that about all the potential matchups in the playoffs. And I think I'd be largely the same way about the NFC. I mean, this is just a very interesting and even year for the competition. Like, all right, should the Bills want to go to Jacksonville or New England? You know, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like these will all be three-point spreads or less and one play here or there. Do you think that that's – I mean, it feels a little bit lazy for me to land there, but – there aren't matchups here potentially where I think, apart from maybe Carolina or Pittsburgh, I guess, where I think one team would be really down bad going in.
I don't think there's any team out there that really seems dominant, that really seems like, oh, man, you don't want to play them. Whereas last year, you know, nobody really wanted to play the Chiefs, you know. And even people didn't really want to play the Bills or the Ravens. You know, I think it was pretty clear that those were the three Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. And then I guess I would say in the NFC, it felt like it was pretty much just the Eagles and the Lions. And then out of nowhere, the Commanders were able to knock the Lions off and get the win. And next thing you know, they're playing the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. But it seemed like there was a pretty clear five teams you could envision going to the Super Bowl and winning it. This year, I would tend to agree. I mean, I don't know. If the Ravens beat the Steelers, I think I'd even put the Ravens in that category. I mean, there might be 13 of 14 teams. I think it would be plausible for them to actually get to the Super Bowl and win it, which is wild.
Right. By the way, on Baltimore, what's fair to say about Lamar Jackson? I don't know what you know in this instance, but just like it's a huge game, season on the line, and who knows if he's even going to be out there. Yesterday, John Harbaugh wouldn't commit either way. Does it smell bad to you what's going on with Jackson?
Well, whatever's going on with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens feels a little bit awkward right now. You know, I mean, you think about there's reports that, you know, he and Harbaugh, you know, their relationship is kind of soured. You know, Harbaugh says we have an A-plus relationship. I think Harbaugh recognizes, you know, that, you know, they would pick Lamar Jackson over him, you know, right at this point if there's a discrepancy between the two of them. So that was number one. And then for Mike Preston, mm-hmm. the Ravens, as long as I can remember, to come out and really skewer Lamar Jackson and talk about falling asleep in meetings and staying up at night playing video games. You know, I sort of wonder how long he's been hanging on to that.
Mm-hmm.
Gave that to him because of how things are going this year.
Mike Preston, Baltimore Sun, as long as I can remember as well, back a long time Ravens or Baltimore sports reporter. With Ross Tucker, Insider Calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Ross, one thing about this Bills season, and this is probably in keeping with all these, this overall context, what we're talking about, it's just been, they've set a high standard. It's been a long time since they've had kind of an easy game. I don't think Philadelphia should have been an easy game, but, you know, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Tampa, the Bengals and the Bucks both led here in the fourth quarter. Miami shut them out into the fourth. I mean, even Pittsburgh, who they pulled away from, it was 7-3 Steelers at halftime. And it's not always the same thing. I mean, they've had good days and bad days, offense or defense. But is it a – what are your vibes on them? Like, it isn't the same as in recent years where they've really kind of dominated the bad teams, and to beat them has been really hard. And this game was an example of that, I guess. But I don't know, does it feel like, I guess in short, does it feel like the same Bills team?
It feels like a similar Bills team. I don't think it feels quite as good all around as some of the other years. I'm not really sure why. I can't really put my finger on it, on what's changed, what's different for this year versus the last couple years. You know, I don't know if it's if I felt like at the end of the year, the last couple years, the passing game was clicking more, or the defense was better, or whatever. I think the good news is I don't know that any of that really matters. You know, I mean, for the Bills, is they have a team for quarterback that's good enough to go on a run and win three road playoff games. I mean, I feel very strongly about that. The same way about and the Rams. You know, it's very hard to do. It doesn't get done very often. But if there's a year to do it, I do believe that it would be this year, and it would be somebody like the Bills or the Rams.
One thing that's different this year, Ross, Josh Allen last year was sacked 14 times, and this year he's at 40 with one game to go. And even as you would have seen Sunday against Philadelphia, on plays he's where he's getting the ball off, he's getting hit a lot. Not so much on designed runs, like there aren't as many of those. His foot is bothering him, and he's sliding on some of those anyway, but he is taking hits in the pocket. I wonder if it's taking a couple of years off his career, not to be too dramatic about it, but it has been a very different year for Allen and, you know, the physical toll he's had to take.
Yeah, and I think he did not look 100% to me on Sunday, which is a shame. I don't know, has Sean McDermott come out and said what they're going to do this week yet?
He sounded like they were going to slow play it, you know, rest players. And I wanted to get to that with you, too, because I think maybe a lot of teams will do that, which is interesting because there are seedings at stake, but not massively important changes in terms of the Bills, for one example. So my guess would be Allen would start the game and then leave pretty early.
You know, I it's funny because people ask me this question a lot about what to do this week and how much the rest matters. And I guess my always that I go back to every year that I played, and it felt like, you know, if you asked me late in the year, hey, if you could have one thing, what would you want? You know, would you want to be a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, a little bit taller, you know, I don't know, whatever, right? I would always tell you, can I just feel a little bit better? Can I just feel a little bit better? I mean, there's a reason why guys are lined up late in the year to take Toradol shots and stuff like that. And it's because they got a lot of things bothering them. They got a lot of things hurting them. And so it makes a lot of sense to me to try to get those, give those guys an opportunity to feel as healthy as possible for this playoff run. Let them go on a run feeling as close to 100% as they can. You know, 1 week's not going to heal them, but a week of not playing, a week of not really practicing, will put them in a much, much better place going into next week's playoff game.
What I'm anticipating is, starting with yesterday when Jim Harbaugh announced Justin Herbert would not play, that's another game where the Chargers could move up a spot or two in the wild card seedings, but not better than that. So sounds like LA was first to the podium to say, like, yeah, we're not going to, you know, press things this week. I just think there'll be other teams that fall in line. And I wonder if New England might be one, because this is, I mean, I know, I recognize it's not giving Denver the game per se, but if Denver wins, then New England has really nothing to play for except 2-3. That's also Chicago, Philadelphia. I thought Nick Sirianni sounded like he was prepared to rest players this week for the Eagles with the same. I mean, two versus three is not totally insignificant. You know, likely home field in the second round. But I'm feeling like this is the general priority that coaches are leaning into this year. maybe more than ever before, is giving their guys the rest.
Well, I think 2 versus 3 is a big deal. I think the issue for the Eagles is that they don't control it. You know, it's not like if they win, they're the two. They have to win, and they need the Bears to lose. That lack of control would be the thing that bothers me. And by the way, there's some percentage chance that the Eagles play their starters and lose anyway.
Yeah.
And there's some percentage chance, I think that they probably think it's pretty high, that they play their backups and win. You know, Tanner McKee, their backup quarterback, is really good. And that's what he did last year in Week 18 against the Giants. He won the game. So if you calculate everything, resting the guys makes a lot of sense to me. Now, if you're the Bears and it's win and you're the 2 seed, that's different. If you can lock in the 2 seed, I think you have to do that.
If they are to win and do that, they'll face the Packers in the first round. One thing this all leads to, I think you'd agree, is just like some really exciting, close-looking matchups. You know, almost all of them will be this. Maybe we get Carolina against the Rams or something, and the Rams would be maybe the biggest favorite of the weekend, but they still have to go, well, they just went to Atlanta and lost last night. So I think it's shaping up for that, where I wonder if there will be a point spread in the wild card round. Maybe that would be the one game where it'd be the highest. I don't know. Like, is any other game higher than 3.5?
You know, I think that there will be very, very close point spreads. I think you're right. Other than Carolina or maybe Pittsburgh, I don't see a team that's going to be favored by a lot over other teams. Certainly not more than a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a team on either side or both sides that you would want to, you know, either literally or figuratively bet on as a Super Bowl winner? Because the odds are going to be pretty even across the board. Is there somebody here that you think is like in the weeds, maybe? I don't know, maybe if it's in the Bills. Like, the Bills are kind of, they've been a favorite most of the year, but still, like, they'll go in as a road team. Is there somebody that you have your eye on for this?
Not really, no.
Okay.
I mean, I probably would have told you before the Rams that I thought they were clearly the best team. Feels like they're limping to the finish a little bit. You know, I'd probably lean most towards the number one seeds just because it's such an easier path. But, you know, if the Lions can lose to the Commanders last year, the Broncos and Niners and or Seahawks can certainly lose to whoever they're going to end up playing.
Right. Ross, one more thing. It's likely now, because of how this has fallen, Sunday to be the last game ever at that stadium. Maybe the Bills end up with a kind of a miraculous home game in the playoffs as a higher seed, but this is probably it. It's a weird one for the fans, I think, because the season won't be over, but the stadium will be, you know, so to speak, on Sunday. I mean, you played there as a member of the Bills. You know the fans. You've said so many nice things in our conversations. What might it feel like? What are your thoughts on the last game there?
It makes me sad. I'm doing the game for CBS with Kevin Harlan this week, and as I was looking at the options after they came out Sunday night, you know, I thought there was a chance of Indy Houston, and I thought there was a chance of Washington Philadelphia, which is what I'm doing, and I thought there was a chance of the Bills and the Jets. And, you know, there was something cool about all of them. Certainly, you know, doing the Eagles, since I do their preseason games and live near there, I'm excited about that one. But, you know, I said to my wife, you know, if I do the Bills, that's the last game at Ralph Wilson Stadium, which is what I've, you know, always called it and probably always will. And I know that there were hundreds, literally hundreds of better players for the Bills that played in that stadium than me, but you know, it's still my favorite team I played for. It's still the team I played the most for. And it's still the place where I have.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
The fondest memories and the most memories. Somebody wrote an article, I think it might have been the Democrat, about, you know, our loss to the Steelers in 04 that we got. So it's always a little bit bittersweet. I'm excited that they got a new stadium. The new stadium looks like it's going to be awesome. But probably listening, you know, it's like anything else in life. When you turn the page, it's like, you know, you'll they're always missing mm-hmm. all the memories that took place in that building.
Thank you, Ross. Good luck getting on the water tomorrow, and we'll talk next week before the playoffs.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Mike.
You're welcome. Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline, Odyssey NFL insider and former Bill. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Wherever Ross goes on these late December trips every year, it's sometimes a wonky connection, so apologies to you, the listener, for having to handle that, but thanks for hanging in there with us. The stadium, I have to remember to mention that as a topic for discussion here, just like the history of it, because it's like the playoffs and the matchups and the Bills' weaknesses and their flaws and just like, is this going to work out? But especially for season ticket holders that go back, you know, even decades, Sunday's a really powerful day. And I'm happy to hear your thoughts on it. I mean, some of you will go back to the very beginning of the stadium, 1973. My first game there was in 1979. I'm glad I can check the 70s box. I mean, I went to one game in the 70s and not many until like the late 80s for me after that. But at least I got one in so I can hold the 70s flag up as somebody who was there. Miami-Buffalo week one in the rain, 1979. 9-7 Dolphins, the final. But I don't know. I fell in love with it, I guess. So what will Sunday mean? Sal and I had different viewpoints, by the way, on the emotions of Sunday yesterday when we talked, because I thought kind of the playoff situation puts a little bit of a damper on the closing of the stadium, because it's not the end of the season. It's just the end of the regular season, and you're probably not coming back, but you don't really know that. And Sal looked at it more positively, like this is a way where you can just sort of enjoy it because there isn't the pressure of lose and you're done or anything like that. It's certainly not that kind of game. Not much to lose here on Sunday. 803-0550 for your thoughts. I'll talk to Tyler Dunn later, Paul Hamilton as well. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.